go with that, but I've been studying it here in Ephesians chapter number 2, and very familiar scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Everyone knows that verse. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So I want to take a few moments this evening and preach about what God has put on my heart. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 4. That's where I want to begin. But God. Now we could stop right there and have a good time. Praise God. We're so thankful that God just butts in every once in a while, as our pastor says, that he has his will and his way. And I like how it describes him, who is rich in mercy. Praise God for that. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at this verse with me. For we are his workmanship. Wow, can we say that one more time? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I pray you be with us right now. Lord, we thank you for the message that we've already heard from our missionary, Brother Hernandez. I pray that you would just touch him and his family. God, I pray you'd continue to touch their lives. And Lord, we thank you for the message that we heard in song from Brother Joe. I pray that you'd touch him and his family. God, I pray that you would be during this message. God, this little thought that I have on my heart, Lord, let me expound and Lord, give it to these people that have been able to gather around today. Lord, I pray that you would just open my heart, open my eyes, guard my mouth and guard my mind that I might be able to preach the word of God. And Lord, we beg you that you show up. Lord, the Holy Spirit of God come down on this place. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I love this verse. Verse number 10 is where I want to concentrate this evening, where he says, for we are his workmanship. Now, I've always enjoyed a person performing their task at that perfection. I've had the opportunity to be able to see people that were at the top of their game perform the task that they have. And here he is, and we say, and I'll be honest with you, I've heard a person say before, I love work. It amazes me. I could watch it all day long. And I'll be honest with you, I could do that as well. It amazes me to be able to see that. But here when we see this work that we have, the true craftsman that is something to be admired, something to be seen, something to be amazed at. And I've had the opportunity to work with amazing musicians. Now, for some reason, Brother Rick, whenever I pick a guitar up and I try to play it as the best of my ability, and then I hand it to somebody that is an absolute craftsman at it, that absolutely knows how to do everything, knows all the ins and outs, that same guitar does not sound the same in my hands as it does in their hands. Why? Because there's a true craftsman behind it. There's someone that is able to know their task. They know the tool that they have. They understand what needs to be done. And there have been many great craftsmen over the years. This old world has seen many craftsmen, talented people. There's been great creations all over the years. And I'm amazed. Thank God for roofs. That's an amazing thing. Thank God for air conditioners. Glory to God. Thank you for air conditioning. Refrigeration is a wonderful thing. I like bologna, praise God, and it needs to be refrigerated. Hey, I got an amen out of that one, praise God. I love these creations that have been invented, those things that have been taken, but there is not one that can even stand in the shadows of the great creator, the great craftsman, the one that has done all and has set all things under his feet. And I'm thankful that we look at this and we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the greatest craftsman that has ever been. He's one that takes far and beyond. He has made all things and he has made our way to salvation and he has touched our lives. And when we begin to see what a great craftsman is like, we begin to see a few commonalities between them. Well, what is that? When we see a commonality of it, we see that there's something that they can't perform alone. They actually have a talent. that it seems like God has. Have you ever just seen somebody that has a talent to do something? They don't seem it, but they work at their craft and they perfect their craft, but they've just been talented by God to do this certain thing. And it amazes me to see someone work that just has a talent, a craft to be able to do. But not only they know that talent, there's the one that possesses that talent, but then there's also one that has the right tools. If you have the right tools to perform a job, then you're going to be able to perform it much better. How many of you had said, if I just had the right tool? How many of you wives had your husband to say, if I just had the right tool, I'd be able to do this? Praise God. And then your husband goes down to the local hardware store, purchases that tool, and did someone say it still didn't get done? I'm telling you. Boy, it just goes that way sometimes. I'll be honest with you. Maybe I need to preach to this side. Praise God, we got conviction over there. I'll preach to this side of the church for a little while. But you get the right tools and you seem like, but still the right tools in the hands of the right person is what makes the difference. The one that has the talent, the one that knows the tools, and Jesus had the right tools. Jesus has the right tools and had the right tools to be able to do something. I preached not long ago, I believe it was actually last Wednesday morning, and we was preaching about how the widow had just a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal left in the barrel, and he had just two sticks, a little bit of wood, and all she had was two sticks. But thank God, Jesus Christ took two pieces of wood and built the entire bridge across all people to be able to go and to be able to enjoy salvation, and built that bridge between that gap that where that gulf was spanned on between you and me and God. We could not get to Him, and He wasn't able to look upon us. But Jesus Christ, with two pieces of wood, built that cross and that bridge and touched us. And with that craftsman, set those tools together. And he was able to do that. Then also, a craftsman has his treasures. He has his treasures. He loves what he creates. Boy, when he begins to take it, a craftsman, a true craftsman, wants to put his signature on it somewhere. A true craftsman wants everybody to know and takes pride in knowing that I have been able to fashion this. I took the talent that God has given to me, and I had the tools that I know how to use, and now this is a treasure to me. And he loves his creation. He values his work, and a great craftsman values his work. Jesus Christ values us as the craftsman for us, for we are his workmanship. What did he create that he could be so proud of? Well, when I begin to look through these things, I begin to say, Lord, will you open your eyes? Trust me, open me, and be able to see this. Well, when I looked at it, I first saw this. I saw a regenerated creature that he created. Now, let me say this, that God, when he took us in our sinful state, he did not fix us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He did not fix us. He did not repair us. He did not touch something and say, hey, I just need to repair or put another thing in this. But he created, regenerated something new. A new creation. Thank God I am not what I used to be. I was saved as a six-year-old little boy, but thank God that I was dying and on my way to hell, but Jesus Christ stepped in and saved my soul, and I'm thankful that I was regenerated and I became a new creature at that time. The workmanship that he displayed on this creation that we look at across the world is absolutely amazing, but there's something greater than what he created here. The heavens declare his glory, but hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to stand up and be able to say, God has created something new in me, regenerated a new creature inside of me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a, you know it, new creature. And all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm not what I used to be, Brother Rick. I am something completely new. You are not what you used to be. You have been regenerated a new creature that God has created. And thankful for that opportunity to be able to be renewed and touched in that way. Some of the verses that really jump out to me is in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And let me read this verse to you. Because This touches my soul because I'm so thankful. Know you not that an unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now I look around the world, Brother Norman, and I begin to say, well then who in the world could possibly do this? And then Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And in verse number 11 he says, and such were some of you. Hey, I can tell you that I know a lot of people that probably could fit that list right there. They used to live a lifestyle that fit that list right there. But Jesus Christ saved their soul, regenerated them, and made a new creature out of them. And now they are no longer what that list is, but yet they are such were some of you, but you are washed and you are sanctified and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our Lord. You say, well, what was I? Well, without Christ, I was dead. Without Christ, I could not walk. I was walking worldly. Without Christ, I was a child of obedience, a child of wrath. I was living for self. I was Christless and I was hopeless without Christ. But then the book of Ephesians opens up and helps us with a few things. It says, that's what you were. But now, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, because now you are in Christ, you do have some things. You've made nigh to the God that has created the earth, and you are not made nigh that has created all things. You now have peace, praise God. Thank God for peace. People don't have peace in this world, and we begin to look around. They are quickened. We are made alive because of Jesus Christ. We're reconciled to God because we are now in Christ. We have access to God because we are in Jesus Christ. We are a new creation, and we are the workmanship of God. And this amazes me, that this regenerated creature that we are. Well, how is that? Well, it's in Christ. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You can do all the deeds you want to do. You can act the way that you want to act, but you have to be a new creature in Christ. That is the thing that we're looking at. Could you not look? God could not look on sin, and I was covered in sin. Brother Steve, I'm about to get excited because I've been thinking about how God knew that He couldn't look upon me. And I knew that God couldn't look upon me when I was that little boy. And I realized that I was a sinner. And I knew that I had sin all over me. But thank God, He made a way that Jesus Christ covered me in His righteousness. He took His robe of righteousness and placed it on me by faith that I can now be having a relationship with God. God is holy, and God cannot commune with an unholy thing. But then Jesus Christ made a way for you and for me. Glory to God. Praise God, He washed me and He washed my sins away, and I can now be in Him, in Christ. Well, you say, well, how is that made? I'm gonna hit it really hard here, really easy, by the blood. How else do you make it to Jesus Christ? Or how else can you make it to God? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Neither by the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Uh-oh, we're saved. I got saved at 6. I didn't have to get saved again. Trust Jesus Christ that one time. He did it once and for all. And thank God I don't have to do it again. I'm thankful that I have a relationship with Him at a constant way now. Praise God. The new creature was not created, or was not made, but it or Lord help me, the new creature was not repaired, but created in what He has. The old sacrificial system could not do it, but the blood of Jesus Christ could. The new creature was only made possible by the spotless Lamb of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And you say, well, how did He do that, that regenerated creature? Well, that's the craftsman that He is. Not only is that, but I'm a redeemed creature. Aren't you glad you're redeemed? I'm so glad. I love that song, page 277. I'm redeemed by love divine. I love that song because I can sing it knowing that I am a redeemed creature through Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter number 136, of verse 24 says, "And hath redeemed us from our enemies, and for his mercy endureth forever." Forever, forever, forever. I have been redeemed, and the only way that I could make it to heaven is through the blood. The Bible was a testament to know that God would not allow any other way into heaven. And I could not make it on my own, but the only way was by the blood, the precious blood, as Peter says. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18, we're not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ is what does us. And it's a substitutionary death. You know, why is that? Am I redeemed? Because God took my place. Jesus Christ took my place. Galatians 3 says this, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Jesus took my place. I know this is Wednesday night. I know the people that I'm preaching to. I understand. But Brother Earl, if we ever got a hold that God took my place, Jesus Christ took my place on that cross, I believe that we would do more than our religious hallelujah. I believe that we probably might even lose a little bit of dignity around here. Because when we realize that Jesus Christ took what I was supposed to take and he took it upon himself just so I might go free, that substitutionary death, he took my place, he took my curse, he set me free. I heard a preacher was walking along and saw a little boy with a few birds in a little rusty cage. And he took that little rusty cage and he paid $2 for it. Brother Rick, he went to the church, and when he got to the church, he set it down the front porch and he opened the door. And those birds, what do? They took the opportunity. They took off flying. The little boy had told him, though, Brother Rick, those birds, they don't sing anymore because they've been in this cage for so long. Lord, they've been in this cage so long that they don't sing anymore. But then the preacher said in his sermon Sunday morning, "Now, I remember that little boy told me, but what I did was I paid for their redemption. I paid to set them free. And if you'll listen real close, the birds are singing right outside." Glory to God. Hallelujah. We ought to say, God has set us free. He has gotten us out of the cage of sin, and we're out of hell. We don't have to worry about that. And we ought to sing to the top of our lungs, knowing that God has made us that way and be able to have that substitutionary death. He set us free through his death. But also we have a salvation decree. Now, y'all know I love the book of Revelation, chapter number 5. I enjoy it. As a matter of fact, the first opportunity I had to preach here, I preached out of Revelation, chapter number 5. Verse number 9 is probably one of the favorite. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lamb of God, because he is the only one that is worthy. I'm not worthy, and you're not worthy, and the leaders of this world is not worthy. But the only one for us to sing praises to and to be able to proclaim, "Thou art worthy," it is the Son of God. It is the Lamb of God. It is Jesus Christ that is seated on the right-hand side of the Father in majesty on high. And I'm thankful that I can sing. My need for redemption hinges on Jesus Christ, and he is worthy of my praise. I don't have to go to the devil's hell. Hallelujah. But he is worthy. Worthy is the only Lamb. And you say, "Well, what are you bragging on him about?" Because I'm a redeemed creature, because he's a great craftsman. He is a great craftsman. And lastly, I'll let you go. I'm supposed to be out right now. But I'm a rejoicing creature. Boy, we ought to be rejoicing creatures. We are redeemed and we are regenerated, but we ought to rejoice in what God has done for us. I'll be honest with you, not everybody enjoys your singing sometimes. Not everybody enjoys your piano playing sometimes. heard a lady say that the doorbell rang at the lady's door, and she walked to the front door, and she opened up the door and said, "Well, hello, how are you doing?" And there's a man standing there with a tool bag, and he says, "Hello, ma'am, I'm the piano tuner." And she said, "Well, I didn't order a piano tuner." He said, "I understand that, ma'am, but your neighbors did." Not everyone enjoys your piano playing. And the Bible does say make a joyful noise, but I always preface, I always follow that up, Brother Earl, with he also says play skillfully. Praise God. Not every time are we appreciated for what we have. But God loves to hear his children praise him. God loves to hear one of his redeemed lift their hand in praise and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your salvation." In Psalm chapter number 28, the Bible says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and my song will I praise him." Page 151, red book. I love that song. Praise him, praise him. Boy, could we just go ahead and sing, praise him, praise him. Those are the things that we need to be on our have on our lips at all times. And I'm thankful that we have it. I can praise him in the morning, and I can praise him at noon, and I can praise him at night, and I can praise him in between. Now, I'll be honest with you, I thank God that I don't have a certain time to be able to go by. I can get in the Word of God. Oh, Brother Earl, I'm getting the Word of God, and I begin to study, and all of a sudden I can start praising him, because all of a sudden he shows something to me and opens my eyes and shows something that I think, boy, he just showed that to me, but he showed it to everybody else too, praise the Lord. But I'm thinking, boy, that's wonderful. And I get so excited, Brother Shane, sometimes that we're at the kitchen table, and all of a sudden something hits me, and all the kids are in bed, and Sister Heather's in bed, and everything's nice and quiet, and I'm trying to be good. And then all of a sudden, I jump up and start running around the kitchen. And it's not because of the 14 Kit Kats that I had already eaten, but I promise you that. But I can tell you, I got excited because God was showing me something and working in my life and helping me. And then I get excited and I start running around the kitchen, Brother Rick, and I start running around the kitchen, and all of a sudden the dog starts coming wanting to know what's going on. And I say, "Come on, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." And we start running around the kitchen praising God. And he doesn't know what he's doing, but I'm saying, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And he's just saying, "Yeah, I guess. But I'm thankful that I can praise him and rejoice in what God has done for me. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm not ashamed of what Jesus Christ did for me. And when I meet somebody, I want to tell somebody. And I want to show that I'm rejoicing. Rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Helping me in my life. And I'm thankful that he has given us. Also, not only do I get to praise him right now, but he's already has future plans for me to praise him. And in Revelation chapter number 19, there are four hallelujahs that Brother Joe has already preached on. Boy, the hallelujahs start preaching. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged blood of his servants at her hand. And again said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God. God and sat on the throne and said, Amen, Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. I've already got a plan that I get to rejoice for him and with him someday. I have the promise of being in heaven because I'm a redeemed creature, because I'm a regenerated creature. And now I can be a rejoicing creature. He has already made plans for me to praise him. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that. I'll be honest with you. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. Maybe it's because my kids are getting older. I feel old. I have a 20-year-old. Lord, help us. Pray for Heather. She has gray hair now. And it's not because of me. Well, probably because of me. She's going to kill me when she finds out I told y'all she has gray hair. But we are the workmanship of God, and we can praise Him because of that. What a craftsman. We are His workmanship. He has blessed us in so many ways. I've seen great works of art and craftsmanship, and I've seen their craftsmen do those trades, but I've never seen one outshine Jesus Christ. Never will. What a craftsman. So what do you need Him to do for you today? I used to sing a song when I was a kid. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Wow. And we think to ourselves, I've got to do this on my own. No, we give it over to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give it to Him and say, work on me a little more. Because He is still working on me, Brother Steve. You just have to surrender to Him and let Him do the work that He desires to do. I'm thankful that all I have to do is say, Lord, I'm yours. Do what you will. Work your craftsmanship on me. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father,